Our loving God, we are grateful to you for such an opportunity to be able to gather around your word. We are here not because of our own merit, but because of Christ. And we banner him and we want to exalt him and glorify his name through the preaching of your word. O Lord, speak to our hearts. Only you, Lord, can truly work in us the transformation that you would want to accomplish, O Lord. Just use your servant as your mouthpiece. And let him, Lord, continue to depend on you and your spirit. So you be the one, Lord God, to illumine your word and do glorify and honor your name in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage I've chosen is a very familiar passage in Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 7 to 10. And I entitled this message, Realizing God's Grace and Sufficiency. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10. And let me read it for you from the ESV. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave. But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Every time we go through the Scripture and somehow it's a passage that we've been reading about or have memorized, as we go through life and the situations around us, from time to time po, I join the meetings with the elders. I would also have the opportunity to join our visitation Ministry of Mercies, to be able to see and visit some brethren and know of their conditions, those who might be sick, those who might be in need of communion. And sa last po na meeting po namin, may mga nag-update din po doon. And I know that recently, some of our brethren have lost loved ones. And some of us, even if we may not want to hear this, but we are lining up we are in a pre-departure situation, right? And we are going to be with the Lord. Amen? It's only a matter of time. But I'd like us to be able to realize how important it is for us as believers to continually acknowledge God and recognize His grace and sufficiency in our lives in every situation. Because we are aware that trials and sufferings are really part of life. We all have our own share of difficulties. Our bodies age. Yung dating 20/20 vision mo, medyo lumalabo na. Although I still try to convince myself that I still do not need eyeglasses. But I stumble my way, and then I want to, maybe siguro yun ang naka-line up na po no, sa mga gagawin ko sa mga susunod na magpasukat po ng lente ng mata. We go through situations in our lives, some financial setbacks, some ailments. Okay, na akala ho natin, malakas pa tayo, but as our bodies age, we we go through those moments of weakness and troubles. We go through trials in our families, difficulties in our relationships, and various situations that we all face in our lives. But the question really is this: how are we responding to God when those moments come? How do we look at our situation from the perspective of God and from the perspective of eternity? Do we respond in fear? Do we respond in anger or bitterness? Or maybe thinking that we're not experiencing what we truly deserve in our lives? Or we respond in resignation? Andiyan na eh. May sakit na ako or dinagnose ako ng ganitong karamdaman. So wala na tayong magagawa. Or do we come to the Lord and seek Him and call upon His name, and that He would be the one to bring us light, especially from His Word? And in those moments, we are given a chance to look again into the Scripture and find encouragement even through the life of the Apostle Paul. And here Paul had to also share with us certain things that as God allows these trials, or God would allow trials to accomplish His sovereign perfect will. You might recall the situation of Joseph. Okay, after a time when there was a famine in the land, and his brothers tried to kill him and abandoned him. And then later on, they had an opportunity to be together. And his brothers admitted their faults, their sins against him. And Joseph was able to remind them, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good in order to save lives." And we know in the New Testament, Paul as well, very wonderful passage in Romans chapter 8, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and those who are called according to His purpose, and that to those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. So there you find the Lord's ways and purposes are truly working out for our good and for His glory. Palagi po natin, nilalagay po yun, no, sa isipan po natin, di po nagkakamali ang Panginoon. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And somehow we are given the opportunity to go to Him and look to Him, because He has His own purpose and plan in those trials that we go through in our lives. Not to mention even those times when we ourselves sin against Him and we ourselves make foolish decisions and become disobedient to the Lord, and so we experience the consequences of those actions. Even then, the Lord still is good. When we come to Him in repentance, He is able to forgive. He is able to restore us back to Him. He disciplines us and reminds us that He loves us still, and even more as He disciplines us and go through the consequence of our actions and suffer as a result. But it results somehow in God transforming us even more into His likeness. So, in all these things, God uses suffering to be a tool in building in us, in building us up, in granting us the opportunity to rely upon Him and call upon His name and prove that He is indeed the God that we serve, the God of our lives. And there are two ways that God works when we experience trials. God may, number one, give us or bring us outright deliverance. And just reminded of the time, few years back, Pastor Robbie had preached on this, coming from another pastor who shared the message in this particular passage, and he entitled this message, Deliverance or Dependence. And that could, to just adopt that for a little bit and look at that from this perspective. When God allows us to go through trials, sometimes He brings with us, or He brings outright deliverance for us. Reminded of the Israelites, how God had delivered them from Egypt, from the hand of Pharaoh, allowing them to cross the Red Sea, God giving them shelter by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. How, as they were going through the desert, God would provide them food and meat and water. The Lord's mighty deliverance through His men and women of old. You can find that in the book of Joshua. You can find that in the time of the kings, when David slew his enemy, Goliath. God brings mighty deliverance to His people. How the prophets were enabled by God to perform miracles. Going back to the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, we see there a listing of these people of faith who believed God, and they received outright deliverance. God was the one who delivered them. God was the one who removed the problems, performed miracles in their midst. God was truly victorious. And God was truly amazing in His work. And I'm sure you also have your own story to tell. How the Lord delivered you from your financial troubles, from your illnesses, from situations that might harm you, how God protected you, provided for you, or even manifested His presence in your life. So God can work in this particular way through outward or outright deliverance. But in the same way that He can work through outright deliverance, He can also work through our ongoing dependence on Him. And think of those moments when God did not immediately answer your prayer for healing, for example, and God allowed you to go through it. Or even for those brethren who had gone through years and years of medication and difficulties as they were going through those trials in their lives. And yet, we find them continually depending on the Lord. We find them holding on to the promises of God, to the grace of God, and acknowledging God in their lives. But the point is this, brethren, God gives and would keep on giving us sufficient grace for our every need. If you are a child of God, you can be assured of this. God gives and will continue to give His sufficient grace for every need. We know that He has saved us by grace. We know that He is sanctifying us by His grace, the same grace that saved us is the same grace that instructs us to deny all ungodliness and worldly passions. It's the same grace that sustains us and is still sustaining us until now, regardless of the difficulties or our own wrongdoings. We are grateful indeed that we have this grace working in our lives. And we experience this as well. And so, yes, brethren, God accomplishes His will either by removing the burdens through outright deliverance, mentioned a while ago, or by giving us the strength to carry those burdens. But either way, God remains triumphant. God still is the same God who has allowed us to experience His great love and faithfulness in the midst of. So we are grateful. Either way, brethren, either God removes the burden or God will just give us the strength to carry those burdens. We know that He will always be there for us. And if God is for us, as Paul said, who can be against us? And what is there to separate us from His love? And you can name all those things that Paul listed there. And you can find that nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ our Lord. And with that, brethren, God is exalted in His glory, but His glory shines brighter. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning as we look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. His glory shines brighter when He brings His servants through the furnace of affliction. You'd see in Daniel chapter 3, the story of the friends of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, otherwise known as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And sometimes you don't recognize them by their Hebrew names because they were already named after Babylonian gods. But their Hebrew names are really beautiful. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, set up an idol for the people to worship. And he made a decree through the incitement of some wicked men and people in his kingdom that they should only bow to that image and no other god. They should not worship any other god except that image. But to a Hebrew, he cannot do that. That is truly sin against the Lord. It's a sin of idolatry that the Lord forbids in the Word of God. And so Daniel's friends had to disobey the king. And they did not bow down. They did not worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And so the king was furious upon learning what happened. And he had to bring these three men in order to bring about the sentence upon them, which is death, and not just death, but death through the fiery furnace. And since they had defied the king and they were somehow, they have a position in the government, and they were setting a wrong example again among the people, somehow in the view of the king, so he had to bring the fire and heat it 7 times more. So, pinainit pa pulalo. And we know the rest of the story, how Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah responded to the king in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. Hindi po natin babasahin yung buo, but gusto ko lang po i-highlight po yung response po na magkakaibigan po nito. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." And so they'd spoken these words and points us to the reality of our experience with the Lord, how faith works, and how we are to maintain that allegiance to the Lord no matter what, because first and foremost, they had believed God is able to deliver them. That's the first level of faith. Believing God that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, that He is able to do anything He pleases. That's the first level of faith, believing that God is able to deliver. And secondly, they said that God will deliver us. The ability of God, not just that He is God who is sovereign over all, that He is God who is sovereign and faithful, but He is also a personal God who will rescue His people. And these three friends said, He is able to deliver us. And that's the second level of faith. Believing God personally can work and will help us in those times, in those moments. And thirdly, even if He does not. The faith that believes in God's goodness and love, trusting Him even through the fire of affliction. Trusting Him and recognizing His unfailing love and goodness still in the midst of those problems and situations. And so, we see these three friends being protected by God. And as they were thrown into the fiery furnace, even the guards that brought them there were killed or died because of the heat, because it was heated seven times over. But these three friends remained unsinged. They were not burned at all, even their hairs. And we would not even smell smoke from them. That's how mightily God delivered them, brethren, through the fire of the affliction. In John chapter 11, we find another miracle that the Lord performed, and that is through the life of Lazarus. That's through Lazarus. Lazarus, one of the friends of Jesus, died. And as he learned about Lazarus' illness, Jesus stayed longer, for a few more days, in another town, and did not go to attend to his friend, Lazarus. And so, they learned that Lazarus now died. And that was the time the Lord told His disciples, let us go and let's see our brother, or our Lazarus, because he's sleeping. But His disciples could not believe why He said that. And then later on, Mary, one of the sisters of Lazarus, short of blaming Jesus Christ, Lord, if You have been here, our brother would not have died. You are the Son of God, and You can perform miracles. But Jesus told her, haven't I told you that these things must happen in order for you, in order for the rest of the people to see the glory of God. In order for the people to see the glory of God. And God rose Lazarus back from the dead. You see how powerful God can work. But sometimes His ways really are not our ways. They're higher than our ways. And when He brings us through those times, we can only trust Him and acknowledge Him. Lord, You still love me. Lord, You still care for me. Lord, You're still there. Lord, I am Your child, and You are working out all things for my good and for Your glory. Now, going back to our story here in 2 Corinthians, balik po tayo sa 2 Corinthians, Paul had to learn these lessons in his life. He had to learn how to receive the sufficiency of the grace of God by, I put it again in another question, through dependence on Christ. Through ongoing dependence. It may not be through outright deliverance, but ongoing dependence. Now, how does this dependence on Christ makes such difference in our lives. So let's look at the passage now in 2 Corinthians 12. In verse 7, Paul declared, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me and to keep me from being conceited." And he repeated that, being conceited at first, to keep me from being conceited. And so God allowed me or gave me this thorn in my flesh and the messenger of Satan to harass me in order to keep me from being conceited. And here's the lesson, brethren. In those moments when God allows us to depend on Him, as we go through those trials, we must cultivate the attitude of humility. We must embrace this character from the Lord, from none other than the Lord Himself, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, who did not consider, though He existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and becoming a man, He humbled Himself in becoming a servant. And not just a servant, but He willingly died and died on that cross. He went through all the humiliations just for our sins. And as a people, God calls us to follow. And we know in Scripture that God delights in humility, and He uses suffering to keep His servants from the sin of pride. In the case of the Apostle Paul, he was given the blessing of being able to see a glimpse of heaven. Only he can tell what he really saw there and how what grandeur he was able to witness. But to keep him from being conceited. And sometimes people, we find people just because they're unable to attain certain amount of works or accomplishments in life, kahit kasyano pa po, pwede pa rin po magmayabang sa kanilang sariling kakayahan. And we do not like that as a people even. Or sinful people as well want to exalt ourselves or maybe talk about ourselves and want to tell other people how we are or how good we are. Minsan po, sa social media din. But to rely on God is another story. Okay, we would rather focus on ourselves. We would rather boast about ourselves. We would rather talk about what we have accomplished rather than acknowledge our weakness, acknowledge our need for God's grace. So dito po, pinakita po ng Panginoon. In James chapter 4, verse 6, "And He gives more grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And it's a continual challenge for us as pastors, for us as leaders in the church, from God as delegated authority, that sometimes we can wield that to ourselves or to our own advantage. But God continues to remind us how we must conduct ourselves. And this has taught the Apostle Paul not to rely on human wisdom, not to rely on his own ability or strength, even though he can boast of all those things. You can just read about his background in Philippians chapter 3 and you would be amazed what kind of man this Paul was. But he did not boast of those things. In 2 Corinthians, his reputation was being questioned as an apostle of Jesus Christ as opposed to those who are bragging about their being super apostles. But Paul wanted to just speak about the grace of God in his life more than himself. More than himself. He even declared, whatever was gained to me, I have considered loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. As he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles, he was quick to admit that he was the least of the apostles. And as he continued on in his journey as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the least of all the saints. And then later on, before the end of his life, he admitted that he was the worst of sinners. What changed with Paul? It's not that he became more sinful as he was preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was in his journey with the Lord. No. He was even more aware of the grace and kindness of God that had saved him and given him the privilege to be serving him in that capacity. And yes, brethren, related to that humility are characteristics like meekness, patience, endurance, gentleness, just to name a few. You'll find passages in Scripture that attaches humility to these characteristics. Be humble. Be patient. Be gentle. As you submit yourself, you'll be enabled to endure. And these are Christ-like character being formed in the lives of God's beloved children. When tested and go through trials, the children of God thrive in these adverse circumstances. And so did Paul. Even if Satan would be there to harass him, even if Satan would be there to inflict those harm on him, some say that the thorn in his flesh can be some physical ailment. Some say that these are relational situations or persecutions, perhaps, that he was encountering from both outsiders, the Gentiles, or from among his fellow Jews, or even difficulties within the church. But it's hard to speculate. Whatever those things are, we can still be certain that we can find something there. So hindi po in-specify ng Panginoon, apparently, kung ano yung sickness, ano yung situation ni Paul, what was he referring to as he was referring to the thorn in his flesh. Whether it could be a situation or people. But the whole purpose for that is for in whatever circumstance we go through, we can see it as the will of God for us. We can see it from the point of view of the Lord. God had appointed that. Satan is not the, he may only be the immediate cause, but God is sovereign over all. Just like how God dealt with Job, for example, Satan had to ask permission from the Lord in order to afflict Job. And God does the same in our lives. Satan has no power to do those things without God's will, without God's permission. So whatever circumstances you are in right now, be assured that those were appointed to you by the Lord. Sabi nga po, even our disappointments are His appointments for us. He has appointed those things. He has appointed where you should be working right now. And if you are having difficulties there, God has something there for you. If you have happened to have been placed in a situation or surrounded with a lot of unbelievers or people who might persecute you because of your faith in the Lord, know for certain that God has placed you there for a reason and to keep you from depending on yourself. Instead, you are to depend on the Lord. Instead, you are to depend on the Lord. Okay? Through humility. Cultivating humility. Second lesson we can find in the experience of the Apostle Paul, in verse 8, he said, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness.'" Pakita ko lang po yung sagot niya sa panalangin. But here we find the great Apostle Paul in his most difficult moment in his life. We know that by experience, that's the best time we are to call on the Lord. Instead of running away from the Lord, that should be our time to really call on Him. And it's provided prayer. Prayer is our best line of communication with God. Our first resort rather than the last. Dapat una palagi. And in the case of the Apostle Paul, he knew to whom he can go to. So he said, concerning this, or three times, I pleaded with the Lord. The number three there may not necessarily mean just three times. Maybe in the morning, maybe at lunch, maybe in the evening, hindi po. But it just speaks about the routine and the opportunity for Paul to present his requests to God and was given the opportunity to receive the answer from the Lord. And we are being reminded here, brethren, it's not wrong to present our petitions to God. In fact, God is the one who encourages us to call on Him. To whom should we go? To whom do we call upon? Buting na nga lang, meron tayong Panginoon, hindi po ba? Buting na lang, meron tayong Diyos na tinatawagan. Kung tayo po ay dumadaan sa mga ganoong mga pagsubok, God is the only one whom we can go to in moments of suffering, in moments of afflictions. Paul did not say, "I went to my psychologist or psychiatrist." Paul did not say, "I went to this banker." Paul did not say, "I went to this seminar and find some tips on how to solve my problems." What he did was he went straight to the Lord and presented his request to God. And he entreated the Lord three times, he said. We're reminded in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 6, "Let us then enter boldly into the throne of grace that we might find grace to help in time of need." Let us come. The Hebrew writer is encouraging us to come to the God who sits on His throne and that we are invited to draw near to Him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So we find verses like these, brethren. What do we do with those verses that continue to remind us that we ought to pray unceasingly? We ought to pray and not give up. We ought to call on the Lord because He is the one who has the answer. He is the one who can deliver or help us. He is the one who could show us His way. He is the one who sits on the throne, and we are not. We cannot be, and we're not in control of situations in our lives. When things are difficult, when we're losing our joy, when we are getting discouraged, when we are in a time or season in our lives, when we are tempted to go back, when we are tempted to throw in the towel, the best way is for us to come to the Lord, to go to Him, and not look for other things or methods or techniques to fill whatever need or whatever things that we might think we need, but to the Lord, who is the only one who could answer us. Now, God is not obligated in any way to provide the answers to our prayers, but He encourages us just the same. He encourages us. In fact, He also commands us. Pwede po natin idagdag po yun. To bring our burdens and needs to Him until we are given the heart to submit and be settled in Him and His will. As we are given the opportunity to say, Lord, not my will, but let your will be done. Lord, I surrender my situation to you. You are capable of guiding me, of helping me, and you can. You can. If you would want to heal me, you can. If you would want to deliver me from this setback, from this need, you can. If you want, Lord, but I want to trust you. I want to put my confidence in you. And we are grateful to God that we have a friend to go to. Just like the hymn that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry all the things to Him, to God in prayer. And praise God that He listens. And God did answer Paul. Amen? Sinagot po siya ng Panginoon. Not by removing the pain, not by escaping the trouble, but by increasing the grace to know, to draw near, and to trust Him. That's the best answer you could ever find in Scripture. Hindi ka pa umaalis o hindi pa man binibigay ng Lord yung kasagutan, alam mo ng Diyos na ang kasagutan mo. It's enough for you that God met you where you are and comforted you and showed you who He is, how loving and faithful and good He is to you. Still. So kahit hindi ka pa dinideliver, kahit hindi nandun ka pa sa situation na yon, either way, brethren, we can emerge victorious. We can emerge victorious. In giving Him the answer, He had to contemplate on the grace of God. So that's the third. The first is cultivating humility. The second is communing in prayer to the Lord. Third is contemplating on the grace of God. The answer of the Lord was, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And so the grace of God was truly at work in his life. It was an active working of God in and through him. God is the one who works in us, Paul said, to will and to do according to his good pleasure. It's the same grace that saved you. It's the same grace that will strengthen you and will sustain you and will bring you through the trial. And in this case, God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Grace, by definition, is God's provision for our every need when we need it. And many of us who've gone through the training in Evangelism Explosion know this, or you may have heard this many times. GRACE, acronym for God's riches available at Christ's expense. God's riches available at Christ's expense. What are we doing with that grace, brethren? Are we availing ourselves of that grace of God? Are we availing ourselves of the opportunity to remind ourselves, Lord, You have not given me what I deserve. God gives what we do not deserve. That's grace. His unmerited favor, as others might say. That's grace, brethren. And who are we? We cannot demand anything from God. Who are we that God would gift us? It is by grace through faith. This is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one may boast. He is full of gifts. Gift for the present. The present itself is the present from God. He gifts us with Himself. He gifts us with His grace. Especially with our redemption in Christ. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? What more do we need, brethren, when God has already given His Son and graciously gives us all things? And through our Lord, John the Apostle, or the Beloved, said, we have received grace upon grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, before Paul acknowledged the sufficiency of God, our sufficiency is from God. It's not that we are adequate in ourselves, but our adequacy or our sufficiency is in God. He has the unlimited supply. He has all the power we need. He can, and He is able, and He can bring us where He wants to lead us. As our enabling shepherd, as our mighty Father, do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Sufficient is the day for all the troubles thereof. There is sufficient grace. There is sufficient strength. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you. He is able to make all His grace abound to His children. And that's what Paul experienced. God gave this promise. My. How big that term is. If God says, my grace. The great God that He is, the great I am, telling us, puny little creatures like us, brethren, who are we to question God? Who are we to doubt God? Who are we to be able to not trust in the Lord? Because He said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's a promise. That's a promise. As God has spoken that to the Apostle Paul, I hope that to those of us who are already in Christ, we can say it as well to ourselves. Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. Whatever the stake, whatever the thorn was, however great the pain, the grace of Christ was sufficient in dealing with it. The grace of God was more than enough. Overabundant. That's the word sufficient. It's overabundant. Beyond all that we could ever ask or imagine. That's a superabundant grace. Sufficient grace of God. Whatever the need, however great the pain, however deep you are, could be found, God can reach you with His grace. God did not change the situation by removing the affliction from Paul. In fact, instead He changed it by adding new ingredients. God said, my grace will always be there for you, Paul. My grace will always be there for you, Ens. My grace will always be there for you, brother, sister. And His power is made perfect. He is greatly glorified. He displays His glory through your weakness, through your need. Because in those moments, you're given the opportunity to witness who He really is and how you really need Him every moment of every day. 1 Peter 5 says He is the God of all grace. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32, Paul commended the brethren to God and to the word of His grace. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, Paul was able to say, I am who I am by the grace of God. I hope we could also say the same for ourselves. I am who I am by the grace of God. And fourthly, brethren, Paul, in his dependence on God, was not only enabled to cultivate humility, to commune in prayer, to be able to contemplate on the grace of God, but to continue to live in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 12, second part of verse 9. As God answered Paul's prayer that my grace is sufficient for you, my power is made perfect in weakness, Paul said, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. Difficulty, trouble, the deepest pain of life allows God to pour out His grace to sustain, which puts His grace and power on display and bring Him all the glory. Those are the moments that God uses to allow us to see even brighter, to allow us to even more realize the strength that's coming from Him. Watch a brother or sister suffer in the Lord. Watch a brother or sister having the joy of the Lord, which is His strength. Yun na lang pinangahawakan niya. Watch him face death. Watch him face the realities of the pain. And know that God is there. God is glorified. God sustains. God puts on display His power to be able to hope in eternity, to be able to believe God even though you do not see Him, to be able to recognize, Lord, You are with me even more in these difficulties. So mas nararanasan po natin ang biyaya ng Panginoon, ang kasapatan ng Panginoon, ang kalakasan ng Panginoon. Naroon po siya, lalong-lalo na sa mga panahon na dumaan po tayo, dumadaan po tayo. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the psalmist tells us, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. It is when the Christian is weak. It is when the Christian has no resources. It is when the Christian is destitute and left totally to trust in God's power alone. I want to add that. In grace to sustain him, that he becomes a channel through which God's power can flow. We can speak more freely when things are difficult. Isipin po natin, yung mga kapatid po natin, halimbawa, nasunugan. And then we can speak freely of the home that we have in heaven. We can speak freely of the treasures that we have stored in heaven rather than the treasures of earth which are passing away. We are given the opportunity to reflect on the things that are eternal and not on the things that are temporal, on the things that are not seen and not on the things that are seen. He becomes now a channel for which God's power flows. So God's grace enables us not only to accept our afflictions, but to glory in them. Not only to accept but to glory in them. Paul said, I would rather boast of Christ, of my weakness. Christ is the wisdom and the power of God unto salvation, which was foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And he can continue to declare that before a sinful, sin-lost, and dying world around us. That's the beauty of it all, brethren. We have something to share. The light of the gospel, of the glory of God in Christ shines even more. In the face of death, in the face of pain, in the face of trial. Suffering was not a tyrant that controlled Paul, but for him it was a servant that worked for him. Paul was able to go beyond the pain, the thorn in his flesh, the difficulty that he was experiencing, to the way that the Lord would use that to be able to draw him nearer and closer to him. And that's why even Paul himself was able to say, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's greater gain in being with the Lord. To be with you, he said in his dilemma, to be with you, brethren, is profitable for me, but to be with the Lord is far more joy. Either way, God is victorious, and he uses our circumstances to be able to finish the work or accomplish the work he desires. Some practical implications for us, brethren, as we wrap this up. Knowing that the grace of God is sufficient for us, knowing that his power is made perfect in our weakness, let us commit to even more grow in Christ's likeness. James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the trials or the testing of your faith produces endurance. And endurance will have its perfect result. It results in steadfastness, and that you may mature, lacking in nothing. And God is committed to be able to do that. Are we? Are we willing to be shaped by God and be molded by God into the image that he wants to fashion us? Are we willing to entrust our very lives into the hand of our master potter who could mold us into the patient, humble, meek, gentle, enduring, persevering people that we can be for his glory? Secondly, let us receive the comfort and encouragement that comes only from the Lord. Blessed be God, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we too will be able to comfort those who are in every way experience those afflictions. And thank God, he doesn't leave us helpless or hopeless. He doesn't leave us without any comfort to receive when we come to him and take shelter under his wings. We're in the best place of all. We're in the best place of all. I take shelter in you, O Lord. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's how the Lord manifested his grace upon the Apostle Paul. He experienced the sufficiency of God, and God dwelt in him and accompanied him and was with him all throughout. Thirdly, brethren, let us know that God is concerned first and foremost of our holiness. So that when trials come, when difficulties come, we are there to see how we are being tested by the Lord. Do not, let me just read to us, Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result of the praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Go to verse 13 to 16. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The testing, the afflictions serve to purify us and help us be able to recognize that God is at work in sanctifying and purifying us in order to use us even more effectively for His glory. He can use us even more for His glory. And lastly, brethren, consider the costs of serving the Lord. Consider the costs of serving the Lord. We are well familiar also with this, as Paul had already talked about this before these verses that we are studying in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians. But we have this treasure in jars of clay so that the surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And you can go on. He's going to talk about the momentary light affliction that produces in us an eternal weight of glory that far surpasses them all. Serving Christ is not without a cost. And the concern you have sometimes weighs you down. Minsan po, sa mga nangyayari, halimbawa po sa ministry, magkasama po yan. No? Yung kasiyahan mo na nakikita mo, may mga nakakilala sa Panginoon, may mga taong dinadala ng Panginoon sa church, and God sustains, and God provides, and God allows us to have a wonderful relationship and build relationships among brethren. Those are those moments when our faith is tested, when some people, for some reason, deflect or defect from the faith. For some reason, you would not find them doing things that are not in line with the Lord's will and plans. And it weighs you down. And it's hard, brethren. But encouragement for us is that as we are reminded of the Lord's graciousness to us, how He called us, how He considered us into the ministry, as Paul was able to remind himself, I praise God who considers me faithful and placed me into the ministry. Even though I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor of the church, and he was continually grateful for God, for the ministry that he has been called to. And for all of us, brethren, as people of the Lord, in God's infinite wisdom, God may not change our circumstances, but we know that He conforms our lives to Christ, and continues to work in us His pleasure and glory. He may not. He may still allow us to go through all these problems and trials and difficulties all the way to the end of the race. But the conformity to Christ and His image is more than enough, brethren, to motivate us, to enable us to endure and to persevere, and how God is working it out for our good and ultimately bringing glory to His name. And we cast all our crowns before Him someday. And we praise and thank God for the outright deliverance, but we can all the more glorify Him through our ongoing dependence upon Him. We can all the more glorify Him through our ongoing dependence on Him. So just to summarize po, in closing, we demonstrate our dependence, how? By cultivating humility, an attitude that is precious and delightful to the Lord. Second, by communing with Him in prayer. That's a precious gift from God, to entreat Him, to call upon His name and delight in His presence, to contemplate upon His sufficient grace and match that for every need. Whatever need you have, there is sufficient grace. Glorifying and continuing to live in His transforming power that causes us now to triumph. Hindi lang po tayo nagpapatuloy sa lakad po natin na nabibigatan, nahihirapan, kundi po, God wants us to triumph over all those circumstances so that all the glory and all the honor and praise be given back to Him.
Thank you, Lord, for the message that you have given us. And Lord, we pray that from the message that we have heard today, help us to give glory to you, our Lord, our God, and our Redeemer. We praise you. Give glory to our Redeemer. Let's thank Him for His grace in our lives.
I will glory in my Redeemer. My life He bought, my love He owed.
Give glory to you. We adore you, our God.
I will glory in my Redeemer, who carries me on eagle's wings. He crowns my life with love and kindness. His triumph song
I will glory. Glory.
Truly, O Lord, how amazing is your grace toward us, unworthy as we are, and yet you've chosen us, first unto salvation, to know you and to have you in our hearts, in our lives, and to be able to live for you and for your glory. Thank you that even in the midst of all our trials and difficulties, you assure us, O God, that your grace is more than sufficient for every need. We continue to declare that all throughout our life, whatever our circumstances right now, help us, O Lord, even to apply what you have heard today. You are the one, Lord, who will bring to our remembrance all these truths, O Lord. Enable us, O God, with faith, with love and joy. Continue to declare you as our mighty God and our Father, who loves us and cares for us. So right now, Lord, I thank you for all your children you have brought here today. I pray your blessing upon them and their families. Whatever concerns, whatever needs they might have, allow them, Lord, to be able to know that you are with them, that you will continue, Lord God, to guide them, help them through all these things, oh God. Bless our giving as well. Thank you for your faithfulness in providing all our needs. You know where the needs are, and you are able, Lord, to provide for all these things. And help us to be faithful to you as stewards, Lord God, of all your finances, oh God, the things that you enable us, Lord, to give back to you through our tithes, through our offerings. Thank you, oh God. Dismiss us with your love. Dismiss us with your presence, and allow us to continually glorify and honor you, Lord, in all that we are and all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, O God. Amen. Good morning, brethren. You can greet one another with the love of the Lord.